Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people that are here today. And if there's anyone that's not saved in here, we pray that you'll convict them by your Holy Spirit. And for everyone else, we pray that the saints may be edified. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And that's what it's about. Praying for people. The lessons in the morning is just Acts. And we're going to work up to Acts 11, 20, and probably carry it through Acts 13, 38. But at least I want to show you that those were Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, in Acts chapter 11, verse 20. And we've got some grace brethren who do preach the truth are confused on this. Okay? And that's just not right. Because I know what Cornelius Stam said about this. He said the King James Bible was wrong. He said on this Acts 11, 20, he said that the King James Bible was wrong. Those were actually Gentiles. And automatically, it set up a red flag when somebody tells me the King James Bible is wrong. I that right there just automatically just goes against my grain. Yeah, and you got a lot of grace preachers out here that do believe certain things about the King James Bible. And how they can and be solidified in what they believe, I don't know. Because they go from here to there. I was telling someone, gosh, I can't remember what day it was. It was this week, about Josephus. Now, see, if you want to read Josephus, that's fine. But don't try to teach me anything out of it. It's just like I've got a friend in Op who's reading the Lost Books of the Bible. And they're busted down just like this in the verses and chapters and all that, and the names of the books. But you know what? He ought to be spending his time reading the Word of God, not the lost books of the Bible. Is there other books out there? And there are other books out there. And matter of fact, some of them are even referenced from this book. But if they were God's Word and important to us and our understanding of the King James Bible and what Christ did for us on Calvary, I can tell you they'd be in this book. So with that said, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Last week in Acts chapter 2, we finished up verse 13, but I wanted to go back and clarify just a little. So about Babel. See, if go over to Genesis chapter 11. Hold on to Acts chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 11. I want to show you something. There's kind of a correlation, in a sense, I don't know if that's the right word. I see a contrast between the Tower of Babel and what was happening there in Genesis 11 and what was happening at Pentecost. I don't know if you know this. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. And the people there says, are you there yet? It says, let us go down and there confound their language, the Lord said, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord, what? Scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. In other words, it's called Babel, confusion. Confusion of the language. But I wanted you to see the Lord scattered these people at the Tower of Babel. Now, go back over. See, that's the scattering of the race, the confusion of the tongues. But at Pentecost, what happened? That was bringing them back together. Tongues were bringing them, reconciling, regathering these people. Why were they regathering? Let me show you. They were regathering because, see, there was no grace period here. It hadn't been approved. It hadn't been put on the old Israeli, Israelite. The prophecy hadn't been paused at that point in time. So what these people, Peter's bunch and what Peter's preaching in here, it was still on go from the Old Testament prophecies. They were looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So what was happening was they were regathering Israel. That's what was happening. Go to Luke 24 and let's take a look at that. And then we'll move on. Luke 24. This is after Jesus Christ, his resurrection. Luke 24, go to verse 47. And they were preaching this. Regathering, that's what I want you to see. verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, in Jesus Christ's name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. Go over to John chapter 11. Regathering. John chapter 11. Verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Now, I want you to see, that's Caiaphas in verse 49. But then verse 52 is where I want to show you. And not for that nation only. Talking about Israel, not from that, for Israel only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He was bringing them back together at Pentecost, getting ready for the second coming. That's what was happening. That's what Peter was thinking. Because what he was fixing to do, Peter was fixing to talk about, you know, you've crucified the Messiah, and we're going to see that. You crucified the Messiah. What must we do? And those kind of things. And he told them what he was getting ready for was to offer the kingdom again to those people after Christ had resurrected from the Savior. Offering this. If you'll believe this, and we'll see what it is that you need to believe, then you're going to be with Christ in the millennium. Okay? But of course, we know that didn't happen. Israel did what? It rejected Jesus Christ. Now, the gift of tongues left in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They ceased, verse 8. They had just rejected Jesus Christ. So those signs, those things that they were supposed to keep on having, they stopped. Absolutely stopped. Now, everyone was concluded in unbelief. The Jews, the Gentiles. Of course, the Gentiles such as us, we were already in unbelief. We were idolizers and those kind of things. But you had a few people that were blessing the seed of Abraham who were in the covenants of promise. But these people right here, like us, in unbelief. Unbelief. Now, I want to move on. Let's now start at verse 14. We had done read about what Pentecost is and the sounds and the Holy Spirit getting with those, and they started speaking in tongues, and all these people that were involved. But in verse 14,
what chapter?
Acts chapter 2, verse 14. We talked about that last week of all the different peoples. But in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11. Now there's 12 now, because they filled the Judas's place with Matthias. Lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea." And if so many people get this confused, they think this is written to them. It says, "You men of Judea." It didn't say, "You men of Samaria." You Gentiles, it says, "You men of Judea. And all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words," Peter says. "For these are not drunken," because that's what the people thought, that they thought that they were full of new wine. "For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It was 9 o'clock in the morning. Now we know bars open up here. They stay open continually 24-7 because I used to be in them. You know, at about 5 o'clock, we just get started. About 6, we'd stop. They wouldn't kick us out. You ordered 2 or 3 drinks. They closed the door, wouldn't let you in. You'd sweep up the floor. 7 o'clock, it opened back up. You're still there, ready to go for the next day. But see, 9 o'clock in the morning for these people was not normal to be drunk. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, let's look at that. Go to Joel chapter 2. Hold on to this because I want to read this. Hold on to this and let's go to Joel chapter 2. We'll go to verse 28. I'm going to flip-flop between these two. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." That's what he was doing. and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Stop right there. We're going to come back. Go back over to Acts, verse 17. Because he just said, Peter knew the Old Testament prophecies. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, in the last days. And at that point in time, there is no doubt about it. It was in the last days. Peter was not wrong. You think we're living in the last days today, and we are. But at that time, there was no grace period in here. They were waiting for the second coming. They were waiting for that risen Savior to come back. So in his mind, he was telling the truth. It was the last days. Now, just a side note here. If he was crucified in 33 A.D., and Peter is preaching here in Acts chapter 2, well, you know, they knew about the tribulation. Okay? I'm going to put that here. That's 7 years of trials and tribulation. They knew about it because that was in the Scriptures. They knew all about it. Now, so if this was AD 33 and they were up in here, they knew that within 17 years, it's going to come back on the Jubilee. I believe the Scriptures uphold that. So if that's the case, within 17 years, and seven of those years are going to be for the trials and tribulations and the wrath and the punishment of the nation Israel, I'd give them 10 years to do and preach and try to gather these people back. It's kind of like you hear people today say, well, you can see the countries that's turning loose into the Jews. And if you want to look at them old boys on television, says, well, send us your money so we can get them Jews out of Russia. What's that guy's name? I see it all the time. They're just begging
San Antonio, bunch of...
Oh, there's so many of them. Oh, yes. That's who it is. Oh, Chuggy. It's Hagee. That's his big ministry. Send it at Pentecostal. Send us the money. We'll get them Jews out of there. Because you got to bless the seed of Abraham. And by sending us money, you're blessing the seed. You're giving alms to the Jews. All of that's a lie. It really is. We're not blessing a Jew today. But anyway, back to this. So within 10 years, other than the 7 years, they were expecting Jesus Christ at that time. That's still the truth there, second coming. That's what they were waiting for various reasons. But, now, let's go and continue to read this. And it shall come in the... Come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall be prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, it stops, but that didn't stop the prophecy of Joel. If everything had been in order and they had accepted and not rejected Jesus Christ, all of this next verses, which I'm fixing to read, 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to go back over to Joel. Let's read what he says. Because Joel said that. But I want you to just see it in Joel chapter 2 again, verse 30 this time. These are the things that did not come true because they rejected their Messiah. They rejected the Savior. And what had happened was, this is when this was postponed. This was the beginning of it. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. You ain't seen that. That hadn't happened. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Well, I can tell you, the sun's shining out there today. And the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Well, I'm going to tell you about that blood in the moon. I was unsaved, But I was a believer. I was a lost believer. I was stationed in Cocoa Beach in 1975 when I was riding along. I was coming from Cocoa, if you know where that's at, headed into Cocoa Beach. You run straight into the Atlantic Ocean is what you do. And that's where the highway goes. There's a Ron John's on the right-hand side on the beach side. And as I was coming, I saw it. It's just a straight road. And as I was coming, I saw like, this is the horizon over the water, and I saw this. This was the sun. It was blood red. It scared me so, as a lost person, it scared, because I believe the Bible, it scared me so I started trembling. I said, this is it. I don't know what it is, but this is it. This is over. Because I knew about the sun turning, the moon and the sun. That was the moon. I'm sorry, it wasn't the sun. Because the moon was coming up. So I'm sorry, I misled you there. The moon, I put the sun there. That's wrong. Moon. And it was gigantic because of the way the horizon was and how close it was. Blood red. Scared me as a lost person. I knew I was doomed and down, headed to hell because I didn't have a Savior, but I didn't know how to solve that problem. So I walked the aisle in 1978. That didn't solve the problem. And just like you say, give them two admonitions and continue to pray for them as we know we ought, because I started watching E.C. Moore in 1984. And I didn't see it for two solid years because of all this garbage that I had, this religious baggage that I carried with me. I didn't know the truth, but I'd been told something by Mom and Daddy, and that don't make it true. It does not make it true. So, back again. This, what the prophet Joel has said will come to pass, has been put on hold. It has not. They rejected their Messiah, so this is not taking place, okay? Then, the suffering is over. That's what they thought. The Holy Spirit being poured out all over the place in preparation for the glory of Jesus Christ coming back into the world to rule for a millennium. That's what they thought. Exactly. Now, Peter was to offer to them the kingdom of the risen Jesus Christ and the return. How about going to Acts chapter 3? It's just over just a little bit. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He was offering the return of Jesus Christ to them people. All they had to do was accept the fact. Now watch this. He was offering it because that's when the refreshing was going to come of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it in verse 19. He was telling them, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? It says when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. That's when it's going to take place for Peter and his bunch. That has not changed. That's going to take place at the second coming. And he wasn't wrong there because the scripture is not wrong. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ. He, God, shall send Jesus Christ before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, and he's still up there on the throne, on the right-hand side of the Father, until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this wasn't a secret. This was just open to all the Jews. They knew that. So, but over here in verse 19 in Acts chapter 2, he said, I'm going to show you wonders in heaven, Joel did. We know that didn't come to pass. So, now down in verse 22, Peter's already said, you men of Judea. Now he's saying, you men of Israel. And if people spout this off all the time about repent and be baptized over in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and they can't read Acts chapter 2:14 to find out who it's written to. They can't read Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It says, you men of Israel, did you see it said anything about Gentiles? You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders and signs. He was approved of God. But he worked miracles and signs, wonders, which God did by him. You see who did that? God did by Jesus Christ in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. him, that's Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This was not a surprise. People come up and they say, well, you know, God changed his mind on this. He didn't know that they were going to reject him. Oh, yes, he did. It's through the foreknowledge of God he knew this. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, the word wicked in here, well, you know what? Through the foreknowledge of God, he knew that they were going to do this. But they were still wicked in doing it. Do you follow me? You may say, well, they didn't have a choice because through the foreknowledge. But it was through their wickedness that they crucified and slain the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go back up to 2 Peter, would you? I want to talk about these signs in verse 19. I missed that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise about coming for the second coming, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, he is not, but that all should come to repentance. Now, verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. His patience is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Now, that's what Peter said about Jesus Christ and God. Back down. Verse 24. After they have slain him and crucified him. In verse 24 of Acts chapter 2, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death. That's Jesus Christ. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. How about going over to Zechariah, would you? Chapter 12. I want to go to verse 10. And he says, the Lord says this, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. For they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Going down to chapter 13, verse 6. And one shall say unto him, to Jesus Christ, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Damn. Verse 25, Acts chapter 2. For David speaketh concerning him, Jesus Christ, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. How about going over to Psalm 16? Verse 8. And I want you to hold on to this. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. That's what we just read. That's where it came from. That's what he was referencing. That's what Peter was referencing. Verse 27. But hold on to Psalms. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Go back over to verse 10 of Psalm 16. I just want to show you where it came from. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Back over to Acts chapter 2. You're going to see it says roughly the same thing. It's not a direct quotation in verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. That's what Peter's preaching. That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet, that's David as being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You know, there's people that just do not believe that that's why he was raised from the dead. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, would you? Second Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. The Lord's telling David something here. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, die, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. We know he's talking about Solomon here, but he's referencing the future Jesus Christ. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now, go over to verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. This is the vision that the Lord showed Nathan, which is the prophet, he was telling to David. So there is going to be a kingdom established forever, and Jesus Christ is going to be the king of that kingdom. Now, back over to Luke chapter 1. We're talking about Jesus Christ here in verse 31. Because the angel just got through telling Mary in verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and of the Lord God shall give, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That just correlates what we've just read. We're talking about the millennium in verse 32. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and what? Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Absolutely no end. He, verse 31 of Acts chapter 2, seeing this before, talking about David, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption like ours will. If you die, if we don't die before the rapture takes place, we're going to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We're just going to take on a new body. Then, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted by the right hand of God, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, and I want you to see that. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Go to Psalm 110:1. Psalm 110. Peter is is using Old Testament scripture left and right in here. He says, the Lord, in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, back to what I just got through saying, I wanted you to see this, for David, in verse 34 of Acts chapter 2, is not ascended into the heavens, okay? That right there, to me, is significant, because people think at the cross here, when Jesus Christ was buried in that sepulcher of Joseph of Arimathea there, he went down into hell, and he did, no doubt about it. But now, here presents a problem, because this is paradise, and this is hell here, this is the underworld, and we know that's the abyss down here. David was down here in the paradise section. Some people think that when Christ came down here, because hell was enlarged, that he took everybody out of here and went up here into the third heaven on the throne. That right there tells me that didn't happen. Now, I'll take your suggestions or whatever your belief is on that, but he is not ascended into heaven. That's what it says. Now, I've been confused on that before, because I believe what the Bible says. Then I started tinkering around, saying, well, and there's various reasons in scriptures we could go through about us. But at that time period, David is still in the ground. You look confused there.
You're talking about his body or his spirit?
Well, we're just talking... Well, but actually, both. But the body, of course, went back to worms. I mean, that's gone. It went back to the dust, as it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. That's where it's at. We're talking about out of here. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now, verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, and again, there we go, Noah surely is talking about the house of Israel, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Go over to Acts chapter 5 real quick. In verse 30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31, him hath God, that's Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we know that's going to take place at the second coming. But see, nowhere did we bring in so far this grace period whatsoever. It's not needful as of yet to bring it in. But that's a good point that you brought up. His spirit. But David is not in the heavens. So we know he doesn't have a body. He's got a soulish body, but he, spirit and soul, spirit went up. Possibility. That's what I'm saying. But he is not in the heavens, which is ready. Okay, that'll take care of the first service.